Coming up on Inside the Cleveland Browns, we go one-on-one with the Browns' new big man in the wide receiver core, Dwayne Bowe.
Former Brown Simon Frazier is inspired to become a doctor after a life-changing experience.
And the Browns make Dylan Sutcliffe's wish come true by signing the 9-year-old to a one-day contract.
All that and more coming up next.
Good morning, Dog Pound. Welcome to an all-new edition of Inside the Cleveland Browns. I'm Dustin Fox, alongside Sarah Kearns, as always. We're back, Sarah. It's been a couple of weeks, but it's fun to be back here in Berea.
It sure is. Now, we might have been off, but the Browns have been in full force and full swing. Actually, just yesterday, they held their first ever fan fest at the Cleveland Convention Center downtown, and it was a blast. Let's go ahead and check out some of the sights and sounds from the incredible event.
We're here at the Cleveland Convention Center for the first annual Cleveland Browns Fan Fest. The idea really came from us talking to our fans. There are a number of us in the Cleveland Browns front office who have put on these types of events before. We talked to our fans during our fan advisory committee meeting about what types of activities they wanted to see, they wanted us to produce, and how to connect better with the fans and the players. And so this was one of their ideas, and we moved that forward. And Jimmy Haslam and Alex Shiner, our team president, said, go ahead and try it out in year one and see what happens. Fans have been really excited and are lining up right now to sit and watch Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine during the Chalk Talk 101 football program that we have on the stage. We have Jim Brown and Paul Warfield to do a presentation and talk about their legendary experiences as Pro Football Hall of Famers. We had a locker room sale that was really popular early. All the proceeds from the locker room sale go to the Cleveland Browns Foundation. So this has been all kinds of stuff. It's been great to see young and old fans all around here wearing their orange and brown. It's been a great time so far.
It's awesome. I mean, anytime you get a chance to engage with the fans, kind of give our side of the story, where the Browns are and how we feel, it's always great to see the support. I mean, the Browns is a unique place in my mind. I was in Kansas City. I was in other places. But there's nothing like being in Cleveland. Our fans are phenomenal. How they come out in groves. I mean, here we are Saturday. It's a beautiful day. Guys could be outside doing other things, but they're here supporting the Browns. It means a lot to me to work every day in an organization where you know you get this kind of support.
I've always liked the Browns. My family is all about the Browns, and I thought it was really special that I got to meet them, and that's all I wanted for my birthday, so I was really happy.
It's always a great privilege to come out here and meet and greet all the Brown fans and the actual people who be out there in the Dog Pound that's rooting for you.
It feels great. I mean, it feels like the season starts next week. I mean, that's just the atmosphere in the building, and I mean, I kind of wish it did start next week so we could get some stuff going.
These fans have been here all day, and to be here with them enjoying this,
I mean, I'm excited.
Through the good, the bad, and the ugly, our fans are always there for us. And if you were in that stadium last year, you heard how loud it was. Anywhere you go around town, people are Browns fans, and they always want us to win. And, you know, that's what we're going to do for them.
What a great experience for the fans. They're so excited, so pumped up for the season. It's not even training camp yet. And hey, I know my good buddy Matt Wilhelm's excited as well. He got a chance to catch up with some fans for the Fan on the Street segment to find out how much you guys, the Dog Pound, know about this year's rookie class.
What's up, Dog Pound? Matt Wilhelm here at the Cleveland Convention Center for the first ever Cleveland Browns Fan Fest. We're going to test these fans' knowledge and see how well they know this year's rookie class. Let's go find out.
Who is your favorite rookie from this year's class and why?
Danny Shelton. Kind of like his way he dresses.
Danny Shelton, because I think he can do a lot for the Browns team, and he's a well-needed player on that defensive pass rush.
Duke Johnson, because I like running backs.
Irving. I like Irving, man. I feel like we need an offensive tackle, you know, a guy who can play multiple positions, whether it be center, offensive tackle, or something like that.
My favorite rookie is Nate Orchard, because he's cute.
Can you please spell seventh-round draft pick Ifo Ekpre Alomu's name?
Pass.
Ifo.
Pam, help!
E-F-O.
E-P-H. H-O-E-F-P-R-O-K-A-L-E-M-I-U.
Ekpray.
E-K... Pray.
No, E-K... B-R-A-Y? Ekpray?
E-K-B-R-E-E.
Olomou.
O-L-M-A... Aloma what?
O-L-I-M-E-A-U.
I-F-O-E-K-P-R-E-O-L-M-O.
Who is that, and what position does he play?
I'm thinking that's Danny Shelton, defensive tackle.
Very good.
Danny Shelton.
I don't remember. I know this is a Hawaiian guy. This Duke Johnson? He looks like a running back.
Cameron Irving.
Last one.
Irving.
Which Irving? Cameron Irving?
Yeah.
That's Cameron Irving?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Kind of looks like Kyrie Irving to me.
Doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Last one.
It's Kyrie. This one has to be Cameron Irving.
LeBron James. That's Kyrie Irving. He's a point guard for the Cavs.
Last one.
Kyrie Irving.
We couldn't stump Dave.
Way to go, Dog Pound. Learning all the new players this early on isn't easy.
Yeah, these fans are amazing. I think they know more than we do sometimes. It's incredible. Guys, keep it right here because when we come back, we go one-on-one with new Browns wide receiver Dwayne Bowe.
My confidence is always sky high, man.
A former Brown changes his career path to help others. And we follow 9-year-old Dylan Sutcliffe on his special day as a Cleveland Brown.
Got a contract right here. We just got it approved by the league. It's all right here, written and signed.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. With the Kansas City Chiefs, Dwayne Bowe stood out both in size and in skill, making him a welcome sight for head coach Mike Pettine.
He's been good. I mean, he's been a veteran. He's been a good role model for those young guys. Just the ability to win outside, some of the back shoulder throws we've been able to make. The other day he had a first play of a red zone period, caught a touchdown up the seam. But just a bigger body with a big catch radius. To me, that's just something you can't coach. We're glad he's here.
Sarah, this guy's got it all. Dwayne Bowe's got size. He's got speed. But those aren't the only superlatives he's going to bring to this football team. Let's hear from Dwayne Bowe himself and let him tell you guys what he hopes to accomplish in the orange and brown.
The last couple of months has been overwhelming, but coming here to a city like Cleveland where the fans appreciate you as a man, not only as a football player, it made my transaction much easier. Going through the uniform unveiling, it was a first for me. It was. I didn't know it was going to be that big, but it was like a part of history. So, just that whole outcome, I was so overwhelmed. That was actually my second day in Cleveland, for it to be so big, and just as much love and appreciation I got from the fans made me feel like I was back at home. You want to leave a good impression. You want your first impression to be your best impression. And me being in Kansas City 8 years, you know, those fans showed me so much love and appreciation, and it was just time. It's time, you know, and, 8 years in one spot is a lot, but, you know, the number two is a new beginning. Now I'm going to pull out a few more good years and kind of got the same fan base as Kansas City. And I just want to be somewhere where there's positive energy in the city and somewhere that needs to be built up like Kansas City was. And now coming to the Dog Pound, watching those games and seeing how those fans interact with the players, and just it's all love. And that's what I want to leave with the fans. It's all love when it comes to Dwayne Bowe. I've always been a hard worker. It was just different because I didn't know the move I was going to make. And me knowing Ray Farmer and Coach Pett, and knowing that this offense would be a great fit for me, I started a little extra hard training because I want to be at tip top. You know, being somewhere new, you want to come in as the best, and that's what they wanted me here for, and that's what I'm trying to bring. Example of playing like a Brown is just being relentless, being available, and just hard-nosed football. You know, from the past, you know, Jim Brown and those guys, they played like a Brown. and, you know, watch a film on them. If you want to do anything, you want to play like them. And when they played, you know, they paved the way. So playing like a Brown is playing tough, relentless, fast. The competition level is going to be crazy. And just having that confidence to know you can beat anybody. We got a good receiving squad here, and those guys respect me, and they know what I bring to the table, the energy, the, you know, the strive to go forward and to keep touching people as long as you're playing. Because, you know, 8 years in one spot is a lot, but you still want to progressively build yourself up and touch as many hearts as you can. I think of just my humbleness and my energy, really, and, you know, my story as well, but just the way I interact and just the positive energy I give when I meet somebody, it's all, I just want to leave a good, you know, feeling towards somebody when I meet them, and that's what I stick with. My confidence is always sky high, man. Just being around a group of guys that want to win, and being around a fan base that no matter what, win, lose, or draw, they got your back, and it makes you play easier. It takes the stress off, takes the wanting to do, and just knowing that you can do it makes it much easier. I think the whole building, the whole organization, them knowing my story and knowing what kind of person I am and knowing the energy that I bring, it's going to touch the whole building. If you ever get a chance to meet Dwayne Bowe, you're going to know the energy I bring from one conversation is going to carry me until the day I'm gone.
Love that guy. Bo is quickly becoming one of my favorite players. Keep it right here. Inside the Cleveland Browns, we'll be right back.
When Inside the Cleveland Browns returns, we'll meet a former Browns player turned doctor.
When I entered college, I was considering going into medical school.
And Dylan Sutcliffe joins his favorite team for one very special day.
I think the Browns really went above and beyond to make him feel special. I mean, as far as he's concerned, he's a part of the team.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Sarah, do you ever wonder what some of the ex-Browns players do when they're done playing football?
I do. I think about that a lot. I feel like we could have a whole show on where are they now.
Well, one former Brown, Simon Fraser, one of my ex-Buckeye brothers, he decided to become a doctor after the birth of his twins. You got to check this story out.
When I entered college, I was considering going into medical school after my career in football. But about halfway through my college career, I decided that the workload was just too much for me. I wanted to focus on my football career. I ended up graduating from OSU and then was undrafted to the Browns. Played there for 3 years and then was picked up by the Atlanta Falcons. And while we were in Atlanta, we found out that we were pregnant with twins. I was actually on the practice field when I got called off the practice field, telling me that my wife was going to the hospital, that there was something wrong, and one of the twins' amniotic sac had ruptured. The day after the twins were delivered, we were called down around, you know, about 12 hours after they had been born, and we could tell on the nurses' faces that this wasn't a, you know, happy visit. Basically, we were called down to say our last goodbyes to our son because they didn't think that he was going to make it through the next couple hours. Luckily, you know, when doctors placed him in my wife's arms so that she could hold him, he bounced right back up, you know, the oxygen saturation levels went up, his heart rate went up, his blood pressure went up, and it was just one of those moments that we knew that things were going to be okay. I just became passionate about finding out what, you know, could be the causes, what could be potential cures, what are our strategies moving forward. And then when the twins were born, that fire and passion grew even more because I wanted to know what the treatments were, what was going on. The doctors quickly realized that I was not the typical patient. One of the doctors sat me down and said, "Have you ever thought about going back to school?" And I remember getting in the elevator after thinking about it for a long time and feeling that this was probably the right direction for me, telling my wife about 1 o'clock in the morning after we had visited the kids in the NICU that I was gonna quit football and go back and get into school and go for med school. And she quickly turned to me and said, "We need some sleep, don't we?" You know, that was kind of where everything changed for me. I think, you know, as a, you know, football player, you're always digging deeper for that key signal or that stance that the offensive lineman gets into, or what's going to be that trigger that's going to, you know, tip you off to maybe a certain play. You're always digging for that. I think that digging of knowledge kind of helped me through my career in medical school, just always wanting to find more and find out why and, you know, find out as much as I could about that particular topic. I think a lot of that came from just the discipline I learned playing football and growing up as a football player. you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And I love being able to call myself a Browns alumni. We're blessed with two babies, and 6 years later, they're doing, you know, tremendously well. And we look back on that situation and just kind of am amazed at how life guides you to where you're meant to be and the different trials and tribulations and the blessings that come along the way.
What an awesome story and so inspiring. Simon begins his residency next year at Columbus Doctors Hospital with the goal of becoming a general practice physician.
Yeah, and on a personal note, I know Simon and his family very well. I know how passionate he is and just how hard he's worked to get to this point. All right, Dog Pound, keep it right here, because when we come back, the Browns grant one young fan his wish to become a member of the team. Time for some Browns trivia, Dog Pound. Well, this past week marked the anniversary of the team's First and 10 program, which asks volunteers to give 10 hours of service to their community. In its inaugural year, how many hours of service did Browns fans log? Was it A, 5,000, B, 50,000, or C, 500,000? The answer when we come back. How many hours of community service did Browns fans contribute to the First and 10 program in its first year? The answer is C, 500,000. Over 50,000 members of the Dog Pound volunteered at least 10 hours or more throughout their community in just year one. For more information on how to give 10, visit clevelandbrowns.com/firstand10.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. 9-year-old Dylan Sutcliffe has been battling a rare, debilitating disease known as AT since he was born. Now, when Dylan was granted a wish through the Make-A-Wish Foundation, he wanted nothing other than to play for his favorite team, the Cleveland Browns.
Today was amazing. You know, we knew that we were going to be showing up in a limo, so that was cool, and the kids thought that was great. The doors open and there's like 200 people standing there clapping.
Just to look around and see there's hundreds of people looking out and down and all around, and it's all about Dylan, and it was just so very humbling.
He handled it like a pro. I mean, I couldn't have done as well as he did. But the happiest and funniest moment was when he saw the big picture of him, his head, that the life-size head picture. He cracked up big time.
You got a big face up there.
He was dying to see the locker room. The fact that he has his own helmet, that he has two jerseys now with his name on them, that he has gloves and wristbands and towels and everything. I mean, it's perfect.
I think the Browns really went above and beyond to make him feel special and important and welcome. I mean, as far as he's concerned, he's a part of the team, and I think that'll mean the world to him.
I got his contract right here. We just got it approved by the league. It's all right here, written and signed.
Especially as he gets older and looks back on this day, and just all the nth degree of detail and planning that went into making this wonderful for him and for all of us.
Who is your favorite player?
Phil Taylor.
My favorite part of the day was standing in the middle of the huddle.
Big welcome for our newest Brown. He signed a contract this morning.
All right. Phil Taylor picked Dylan up, and he said, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Browns on three. 1, 2, 3.
Browns.
Good job, Dylan.
All right, guys.
Everybody's putting their hands on him. I'm like,
that was pretty amazing.
All these giants in front of this little guy.
And the players in particular were just so kind to each take a few minutes with him and say hello to him and sign the football. And they're just so very kind and gracious. I couldn't have
been
more.
In particular, the quarterbacks.
Yes.
The four guys just spent some really quality time with Dylan, especially Josh McCown.
Did you have fun? You like all this sunshine?
Yeah,
nice day,
I'll tell you.
Dylan was born, happy, healthy baby, very, very normal child. The thing that first clued us in that something might be out of order, shall we say, he didn't walk until he was 17 months old. And he walked with kind of a wobble that was such that, you know, we were trying to figure out what might be causing that.
There was something just that just wasn't right mm-hmm. about his development.
Yeah, we couldn't put our finger on it.
He was 3.5.
3.5. Ataxia telangiectasia, or AT for short, it's a rare immune or genetic disorder that involves both immune deficiency as well as diminishing mobility.
And of course, the hardest part about being parents with two children with this is the fact that we don't know how long they're going to live. Could be in their teens, 20s. We live each day in the moment, and we appreciate each other. And where we have to spend so much time with them, helping them eat and go to the bathroom and get dressed and walk from the living room to the kitchen, well, that's a blessing because we get to spend all the time with our kids.
We choose to be happy. Happiness and joy are our choice.
You got it. Nice job.
He would want people to know that he's okay and that he's just like everyone else.
Maybe you're not as quick as the others, but that's okay because we all have special gifts. And, you know, he has a sharp mind and he can memorize all these players and their names and their numbers. And yep. It doesn't matter that he's wobbly. He has a lot of other gifts to share with people.
And he's going to have these memories forever. And hopefully when he gets older, maybe he'll get to write a letter on his own thinking in some way. But I would definitely know that from the bottom of his heart, he thanks everybody.
Tell me what it's like to be playing for the Browns.
What's it like to be playing for the Browns?
I think it's awesome.
All right.
Dylan and the Sutcliffe family, well, they're going to cherish this day forever. And Sarah, what a way to honor the mission of First and 10 on its anniversary.
Exactly. I agree. Well, Browns fans, thank you so much for joining us for another edition of Inside the Cleveland Browns. Be sure to stay right here for an all-new Dog Pound Report hosted today by Mike Cairns and Matt Wilhelm as they break down week two of the Browns offseason workout.
For Sarah Carnes, I'm Dustin Fox. I know we're all in. Go Cavs tonight, and we'll see you next week, Dog Pound.